Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Our scripture today comes from the 44th Psalm, verses 1 to 3. We have heard with our ears, O God, our ancestors have told us what deeds you performed in their days, in the days of old. You with your own hand drove out the nations, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples, but them you set free. For not by their own sword did they win the land, nor did their own arm give them victory, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance, for you delighted in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation and the inspiration within all of our hearts today be acceptable in your sight, for you, O Lord, are our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The scripture this morning is from the Psalm. It's Psalm 44. It's a prayer. Oh God, we have heard with our ears what our ancestors have told us. What wonderful deeds that you performed in their days, in the days of old. We're now in sermon number 3 in our series called The Bible. Now, last week we had a special guest with us, James Moore. James is many of you know, is a very prolific writer of Sunday school curriculum, devotional books, inspirational books. He is also one of United Methodism's most eloquent preachers. You need to have him back to preach on some occasion. And so it was kind of daunting for me. But afterwards, you know, I wondered, how was the service? I was interested in knowing how he and June's impression of our service. And he was very complimentary. He was very appreciative of everything that went on. But then he says, well, I can't believe you're preaching on the Bible. I don't know, what? Well, he said it more than once, as in, I would never think of such a thing. The Bible. Well, he was ribbing me. What we're doing, what David and I are both doing in these few weeks, we're taking on, you know, the idea of the History Channel show that had over 14 million viewers, as if something all of a sudden the Bible is popular now in television viewers. What I'm trying to do in these series of sermons is to highlight the great epics. The grand themes of our Holy Bible. We started with creation and the fall. Last week we worked on Abraham and the covenant. And today, the Exodus. Now the value of the Exodus is, the story of the Exodus is to Jews what the resurrection is to Christians. It is the primal story. It is the core story of their identity and who they are and how they understand who they are. It is their prime narrative. Scriptures, old and new. The theme of the Exodus weaves through it all. It's not ironic that both the story of the Passover, which is the story of the Exodus, and the story of Jesus' crucifixion and the resurrection. Most years occur the same week. While our Jewish brothers and sisters are celebrating Passover and telling the family story of the Exodus, we are going through Holy Week and telling our family story of the last week of Jesus, his crucifixion and his resurrection. It's not ironic either that they're both spring stories, stories of hope and new life. The importance of the Exodus is that if you're a good and a devout Jew, you live your life in that story. You could also say, for us who will follow the way of Jesus, our Christ, we also follow in that story. We find ourselves in the story of Jesus, as our Jewish brothers and sisters find themselves in the story of Moses. I'm also using these three themes throughout this whole series, and you're going to probably get tired of them, but I hope they sink to the heart. These three themes have to do with what it means to walk biblically in the way of life, what it means to understand biblically what it means to live a good life, to live life well. And if you want to call it the secret of happiness, you can call it that too. Fidelity. Living a life that is trustworthy. A life that when you make a promise, you keep it. We all know the importance and the value of promise making and promise keeping, and we know the heartbreak and the pain when promises are broken. Fidelity. Freedom. What it means to live authentically free. Responsibly free. Realizing that in our freedom we have certain decisions we make, actions that we perform, and to know that there are certain situations in which we need to self-regulate that freedom in order for the community we live in to thrive. Responsible freedom. And the ultimate expression of love is forgiveness. Sometimes when promises break and when freedoms harm, after judgment and after reckoning, is there forgiveness? What we learn in the epic of the Exodus and our own personal story of Jesus' life, his crucifixion, and his resurrection is that, yes, in God there is forgiveness, mercy, and grace. Moses had a miraculous birth. If you know the story, it's hopefully our children know this story too. The miraculous birth of Moses in Egypt. The Hebrews had been slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years now. They were suffering a deep depression. And the population of the Hebrews was growing, and so the Pharaoh got worried that this population would so become so overwhelming that he couldn't control it anymore. So he gives an edict that all male sons of the Jews would be thrown into the Nile. Moses is born, and Moses' mother builds an ark, a basket made of reeds. It's called an ark. An ark is a thing where God puts his precious things, whether it's a Noah's ark or an ark of the covenant or a little basket where Mama places Moses and hides him in the bulrushes. When along comes Pharaoh's daughter, finds a little baby, takes her into her own household, and adopts the little baby as her own. Miraculous. As miraculous, not perhaps as miraculous, but just as miraculous, is Jesus' birth. When he is born, he's placed into an ark where God places his special things, in a manger, in a stable. And there's an edict by King Herod that all male sons of Bethlehem shall be slaughtered. And so Joseph takes his little baby and Mother Mary, and they flee to Egypt. What one discovers in the grand epics of the Bible is that the interchange between New Testament, Old Testament, New Covenant, Old Covenant, and that we discover the Christ, or we discover hints of the Christ in the Old Testament that's revealed to us in the New. Moses, at the age of 40, must flee Egypt because he has murdered an Egyptian taskmaster for abusing a Hebrew brother. And so he flees. He's 40 years old. He flees across the Red Sea into the Sinai Peninsula, where he eventually marries. And he becomes a part of his father-in-law's estate, and he's a simple shepherd. And for 40 years, he tends the sheep, until one day on Mount Sinai, he discovers the phenomena of burning bush. And out of this burning bush that is not consumed, he's now 80 years old, and he hears the voice of God saying, I have observed the misery of my people. It's not all there. We're missing part of it. I have observed the misery of my people. And I am going to go and liberate them and bring them to a good and a broad land, a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And I want you to go and liberate them for me. And Moses says, who me? Why me? And God says, I will be with you. I am going to send you to the Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, with you out of Egypt. And you shall worship me on this holy mountain. So Moses goes back, the story of the Exodus. And Pharaoh refuses to let them go. Jesus also has an epiphany and an understanding of who he is. Jesus is his hometown in Nazareth. Stands up and declares his calling. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he says, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. And he has set me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus' mission is to set free, to liberate, to transform. Moses goes back to Egypt, stands before Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. So I have this image here, and I'm just curious, for those of you who, what do you suppose that image represents in your mind in relationship to the story of the Exodus? The what? The first plague. Where to go? Way to go, Linda. The first plague, which is turning the water in the Nile to blood. First plague. The last plague is also a blood plague, and it is the plague of the killing of the lamb and the blood over the lintel of the doorway of the Jews when the angel of death passes over and the firstborn of the Jews are spared. First plague, last plague. I don't think it's all that ironic. The first miracle of Jesus, anybody remember what the first miracle of Jesus is? Turning the water into wine. The last miracle of Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God on the cross of Calvary, sacrificing his life in a blood atonement for the salvation of the world. Let my people go. The water crossing across the Red Sea from slavery into the wilderness. Jesus' baptism into the Jordan, rising up, the river crossing from the baptism into the wilderness. 40 years for the Israelites, 40 days for Jesus. What is this wilderness time of temptation? This wilderness time of understanding and identifying and getting clarity of what God is calling them and him to do. This wilderness time of preparation for the fulfillment of the promises. They get to the mountain, Mount Sinai. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings." That's where that song comes from. "I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And now therefore, if you obey my voice and you keep my covenant, my promises, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples, and indeed the whole earth is mine, and you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation." He's reestablishing the covenant with the children of Israel. And how he does that, he gives them directions and rules for the road, the commandments. And when God finished speaking with Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave them the two tablets of the covenant of stone, written with the finger of God. How do you live in the wilderness? How do you become a people? You become a people, and how to learn to live with one another through statutes and laws and rules. What does it mean to live truly free? To be truly free, you have boundaries and you have parameters of life. You have things which order the community. It's a give and take in order for the community to thrive. It's not anarchy. That's what they had to learn in the wilderness. When Moses comes down from the mountain, the scripture says his face was so bright and shiny that he had to cover it because he had been face to face with God. The New Testament tells us about Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration when his whole being became pristine white and filled with light. And there in his presence was Moses and Elijah and the voice of God saying, "Here is the new law in my Son. Listen to him." Moses is revered by our brothers and sisters in the Jewish community because he communicated with God face to face. He acted as priest and mediator between God and the people. Remember the story? Moses is on the mountain. He is receiving the command of God. Down below, the children of Israel are getting antsy. He's been there too long. They're starting to become chaotic and anarchic, and they decide they need to worship, but what to worship? They want something tangible, something that reminds them back of Egypt. And so what do? They create a golden calf to worship. And God on the mountain says, do you know what they're doing down there? I am going to destroy them. And Moses says, wait a minute. Remember your promise. Remember who you are and who they are. We can get through this. Hold off. Let me help. And God changed his mind. God, please forgive them. Jesus' last words on the cross, the one who knows God intimately, and the one who in fact is God, says from the cross, for all of us, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Fidelity, freedom, and forgiveness. A little self-disclosure. This week, I did not have a scripture ready for this sermon. I knew that I was going to talk about the Exodus, but in preacher school, this is a big no-no. You don't do this. You don't have what you're going to preach before you have the scriptures. The scripture is first. Everything comes out of it. And so I get this email. I'm in the middle of a meeting and I get this email. We need your scripture. We need your scripture. And so I knew what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about the big story. I wanted to talk about what the Exodus means as the primal core story for the Jews. And so I wanted to look somewhere else other than Exodus that reminds us that this is a primal story, a story of memory, a story that helps the people understand and continue to understand who they are. So I'm looking through the Psalms and I find Psalm 44, which is, we have heard with our ears what our fathers have told us, the great deeds you performed in days of old, how you led them to freedom. But then I went back to read it again, the whole thing. And I go, oops. See, the Psalms are incredibly honest. That's the power of the Psalms. The Psalms are just humanly honest. This is a prayer, and it's a prayer of lament. This is someone praying thousands of years after the Exodus, but the story of the Exodus is deep within their heart and being. But they're going through an incredibly hard and difficult time. This is probably the time of the Babylonian captivity, when everything they've always known has been destroyed. Our enemies surround us. We are like sheep to the slaughter. We are sold as triflings. We are taunts. We are laughing stocks. We are disgrace. But we have not forgotten your name, O God. We won't bow down to any strange gods. But Lord, where are you? Rouse yourself. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Awake. Do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression? For we sink down in the dust and our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up, come to our help, redeem us again. The power of living in the story is that we know certain times in our life, when times get tough, when we're going through a particular time in our life that we are uncertain about the future, and we want to know now, we're in pain, and it hurts, and we're pleading and we're praying, God, where are you? For those of us who live in the story, for those of us who live in the story of Jesus Christ, we live in the story of resurrection. And we hold on. Because the one who we hold on to is a promise maker and a promise keeper. We may not know exactly when, but we can be sure God will keep his promise. And resurrection will come. And a new dawn will break. And that which we're going through now will soon be over. That's what it means to live in the biblical way that leads to life for you and me. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.